This morning we are starting with the series, the relationship series, and I have gifts here for people. We decided that people are just going to donate their suitcases. So anybody need a suitcase? I'm just kidding. We're talking about baggage this morning. No baggage allowed. And as I was preparing or thinking through this, I just realized, you know, to have a relationship between a man and a woman work, that's like a challenge on its own. Just to have male and female understand one another, speak one another's language, it's a challenge. But now you add a bit of baggage to the scenario. You add a past, you add issues and things that comes with, and in the end you have a very complex situation. It's very hard for the relationship then actually to work. And so relationships can be very frustrating, like that lady on that picture, trying to get everything in the suitcase. And so sometimes we try to work at our relationships, we try to make it work. And it's not always so easy to make it work. Anybody that's ever experienced relationships to be a bit of a challenge, please raise your hand. Okay. Okay, so I'm speaking to the right crowd. And so sometimes we try to make it work in our own ability, and it's actually not so easy. And so we want to speak about what's beyond the norm. So what I'm going to speak about this morning is something that's not normal, it's not average, but it's sort of God's desire for our lives. So it's beyond the norm, it's beyond the average, it's better than what most people experience. And so this one area that makes life quite difficult is called... He said he put some weights in here. Baggage. Okay? I'm already tired. Okay, now imagine carrying a few of these, or some of us a mountain of these with us. You know? It's sort of a challenge. And so baggage, I'm going to put this down. I'm not going to make it. Baggage is a big challenge. I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes you're in a relationship with somebody. Now this can be, I'm going to focus on male, female, but this, you can apply this to your friends, you can apply to any type of relationship. But sometimes it happens that you're in this relationship and something happens and you just don't know why you responding in a way that you just, but this is not really me, and I didn't really want to react so excessively, in a sense, but something triggered you, something caused you to act, in a sense, out of character. And that thing is called baggage. Baggage. You see, most relationships, you'll have a honeymoon period where everything is wonderful, everything is fantastic, and then at some stage, baggage appears. Some stuff starts popping out. And so when life happens, you know, you get busy, you have work pressure, you have deadlines, you have things you're trying to do in your life. All of this together can make our relationship so complex, so it can cause so much pressure. Baby comes, oy, oy, oy. You better have a solid relationship by the time the babies come. Otherwise, it can be challenging. So what is baggage? Baggage, unresolved incidents or relational disappointments. It's like things of your past you've not dealt with. Unresolved incidents. And you're not necessarily aware of them, but they're sort of sitting under the surface. The dictionary says baggage, intangible things that get in the way. Baggage, intangible things, feelings, circumstances, or beliefs that get in the way. It's like the baggage becomes a mountain. You start building a mountain, a hill. So you're standing on this side, your partner's standing on the other side, and we have this thing in the way, this obstacle. So we're miscommunicating, misunderstanding, and we're not connecting. You know, but God wants us to have relationships that work, that's intimate, that's real. That's God's heart. For instance, I'll give a few examples of baggage. Maybe you had a girlfriend from high school and she cheated on you. Years later, you wonder, still for some reason, you say, I struggle to trust my wife. I'm so jealous and suspicious of her. Maybe that's somebody that experiences that, this suspicion, jealousy. And you're not aware that it comes from high school, but you have these feelings and these things that you might be battling now with. What about my friend that gossiped about me when I was in college? Maybe you can say that. My friend gossiped when I was in college. I just can't believe that she said that about me. You know, when I think about her, I'm still angry. Can't believe that she would do that. That witch. Okay, maybe that's a little bit excessive, but maybe some of us. Luckily, it's witch, not, yeah. And for some reason, you feel on the inside of you, I just know this is going to happen again. I just know that I'm not going to open up. I'm not going to share my heart. I'm not going to trust somebody like that again because they might just throw it back into my face. It's called baggage. What about ex-husband and what he said about you? You might say the words still ring in my ears where he said, you'll never, you so-and-so, it's all your fault. You know, those words spoken in times of emotional hurt, it can stick with us for life. And so you might say, I sit with this fear that his words will come true. I sit with this fear that it is all my fault and there's something wrong with me. Or what about this? My husband hardly ever helps in the house. That's like standard. He just watches TV and he does what he wants to do while I look after the kids, I clean the house, and I'm like a servant, I'm like a slave in the house. Some of the ladies might be saying that. And then she might say, and you won't believe it. Then late at night when we get into bed, he actually wants to be friendly. You know, friendly. Can you believe that? Guys are so thick. Guys are just different. Just different. But it's so easy, and if that continues, there's like this build up. It's actually then this obstacle in the relationship. The wife might come to a point where she says, I don't want this man to touch me anymore. I just feel unloved. I just feel not loved. What about this scenario? As a girl, you were small and your dad said he's going to take you out for ice cream. So he went to the hardware store and then he doesn't come back in a sense. It takes him 2 hours. So this little girl sitting at the door waiting for dad to come back. Dad comes back after 2 hours. He smells like alcohol and he slurs in his speech. And he obviously forgets about his promise. He promised. Now let's fast forward 20 years forward. Husband tells the same lady, 7 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be home. I promise I'm going to take you out for dinner. 7 o'clock comes, husband's not there. He arrives 45 minutes late. He had a legitimate excuse, flat tire, but she flips. She freaks. She yells at him and says all these things against him, and he's thinking, what's going on here? Flat tire. That's sort of normal communication between male and female. Logic. But the lady She's upset and he doesn't realize that she is not screaming at him. She's screaming at her dad. She's still screaming at her dad because she's not dealt with it. She's not dealt with the issue. She's not dealt with the baggage. She's carrying this around with her. And it's causing an obstacle in the relationship. Is this an issue? This is an issue. This is a massive issue in relationships. If this build up, and this is often what happens. People ask, if you're passionately in love, what's the best way to kill the passion? Just get married. That's what people often say. Yeah, do you want to kill the passion? Just get married. And often it's true for people, but it's not true. The reason it feels like it, because we're not dealing with the baggage. And it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up. And so there's no more intimacy. There's this obstacle between us. And so I want to share with you how to deal with the baggage. How to deal. I'm just going to zoom in there. How to deal with the baggage. What does baggage do to us? Unresolved issues from the past causes wounds in our lives and also lies. Wounds and lies. And you can explain in terms of a wound. If you would touch somebody on a part of their body where the skin is healed, there shouldn't be much of a reaction. That's just hello, okay? But now if there's a wound on the flesh and somebody would accidentally touch you, there will be this reaction. It's like, hey, Aina, no, okay? And that's sort of what a wound does. It's spots over our emotional life and relational life that if somebody presses that button, we react excessively. And so the unresolved incident, the baggage, causes wounds in our emotional and relational person. These open wounds are very sensitive and we're vulnerable in those areas. And I think most of us have them to a greater or lesser extent. Okay, so what in lies? Then so the baggage or the unresolved issue cause the wound, but I also believe it causes a lie in two areas. The one part, the lie, is we start receiving lies about ourselves, the way we look at ourselves. We look at ourselves in the context of the thing that happened. And I also think we start looking at other people in the context of the lie. So in a marital relationship, for instance, a husband might say, my wife is so controlling. Everything she does is she just controls me. She treats me like a child, and she controls me, controls me, controls me. That's all she wants to do. She wants to be in control. That's his perception. But if you actually objectively come to the scenario, you might say, no, she actually loves you. She's good-willed towards you. She's trying to help to make the relationship work. See, ladies are relationally wired. They try to help. They try to make things work. And so the guy can then feel, oh, she's just controlling. So everything she does is viewed through the glasses of controlling, controlling, controlling. So he can't receive anything from her unless he embraces the truth, which says she's good-willed. She's trying to help. She loves me. Then you can start dealing with it. But so those things can distort our view about ourselves and others. Okay, so you might say, ah, I don't have baggage. Ah, it's not really an issue. But wait until you put in a certain scenario, certain environment, then and your buttons gets pressed. Then it gets quite interesting. Okay, so how do we deal with baggage? How do we deal with wounds? How do we deal with the lies? I just want to focus on the wounds and the baggage. The first thing is debt. Free living. Why do we get baggage? Something happens and somebody did something in a relational context that, say, disappointed me. I expected more from them. And then what happens is you feel They owe me. They owe me. My husband owes me. My wife owes me. That person owes me. My friend owes me. And so you pick up the baggage. You pick up a debt. And you are waiting for the debt to be paid. You want them at least to say, I'm sorry. At least. But if it develops and it becomes a little bit darker, you say, I want revenge. I want payback. That's where it can go to. Where's this anger in the heart towards somebody? It is so easy that this happens. But you pick up the debt and you carry this with you, and underneath you're still waiting for somebody to come say they're sorry. You're still waiting, but it's still unresolved. He owes me. And so the debt becomes your obstacle. The debt becomes your obstacle. And it's an obstacle to intimate, lasting relationship. Okay, now let's look at the verse here. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Now, I've been meditating upon this for quite some time. It says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love, it's a special love, it's a fervent love, it's a passionate love, it's an agape love, it's an unconditional love. This is a type of love that says, you owe me nothing. This is a type of love that says, covers a multitude of sins. You might say, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know. Was it a multitude of sins? Was it a lot? According to the Word of God, love can cover a multitude of sins, a multitude of transgressions. See, this is how it works. Put two people together. They will sin against one another. They will hurt one another. Why? Because they are human. They are human. That's how it works. But then Peter says here, above all things, I can give you 1,000 things to do, but above all things, above everything else, above it all, love. Passionately. Love. Passionately. And the key here is, and this is the beauty of love, God love, is that it, as the lies come and they distort your vision, the debts come and they bring an obstacle between a relationship, but love conquers anything. Love washes away. Love covers the sin. Love covers the issues. Where you can have somebody being married 50 years and the husband saying, my wife is a babe. And you're thinking, huh? You must be kidding me. It's called love. Love. If you are married or dating, your partner should become your definition of what is beautiful. If she's skinny, skinny's in. She's tall, tall is in. And if she changes over 30 years, then you change your definition with the change. And your wife can still be a babe. Because love. Love covers a multitude of wrinkles. Love covers everything. That is the beauty of God. Most people in the world experience marriage after time, that the intimacy goes out, there's no more passion, there's no more joy, there's no more fun, maybe, I don't know, but that's often when you speak to people, that's what they experience. But that's not what the Christian relationship is destined to be, because we have supernatural love, that which we receive from above. Where do you start? You start by saying, you owe me nothing. Andy Stanley says that in one of his messages. Now, I just want to take it a little bit further. You owe me nothing. You see, unforgiveness and dwelling on sin and you owe me causes baggage to build up and up and up. Then it distorts our perception. Then it affects our hearts. Can cause darkness in the way we live. Cause bitterness in the soul. It's often been said, if you go to the divorce court, you'll get the most hatred there. Two people, lovers, who were passionate about one another previously, now despise one another, and all they're saying is, I want the car, I want the house, I want my debt paid. Fighting over money, but that's not the issue. The issue is, there's a debt that they still feel the other person owes them. And you cannot receive healing if you don't deal with it. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is to give what God has given us. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is to give what God has given us. And He has said to you and to me, I cancel all your debts. Everything you've done in your whole life, the moment you turn to God, He cancels your debt. And He says, you owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. And so then God challenges each of us to do the same. He releases our debt and He says, now give the same. Do the same. Release the debts. Release the debts. If you walk with your baggage, you will come to a place that it will cause relational destruction. That's how it works. Release the debts. When have you truly forgiven somebody? When you desire for the that person good things. This is a challenge. It's not just saying, okay, fine, just go. You know, I release you. Far away from me. That's not it. True forgiveness is when you come to a place where you can say, but I really want you to be good and to be blessed. I really want good things for you. I really want good things for you. I really want good things for you. And you can't do this in your own ability. And so that, along with this comes a challenge, especially if you're married. Daily forgiveness in that specific relationship. If there's something small that's happened, deal with it. Otherwise it's built up. It builds up. You know, so my wife and I, we try every day. If there was an issue, I mean, we can't even sleep. Talk about trying to sleep, you know. So we will talk it through. We will discuss it. It's really amazing how quickly. I think this is one of the biggest shocks for me. How fragile a relationship is. You know, I would often say, I think my wife and I, we've got a wonderful marriage and we love one another. And I would also think, yay, you know, this is unshakable. You know, nothing can bring us down. Nothing can, nothing. You know, and then 2 weeks later, oh, wat gaan aan? Why are we struggling so much? Why is there's suddenly no love? What's going on? You know, it's like something came in here because I wasn't focused. I wasn't dealing with the issues. I didn't stop and focus, got busy with life and with work. It's so easy. A relationship, any relationship, is really fragile. And so daily you need to release, daily you need to forgive. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So how do you do this in a relationship? Talk. Guys, in general, don't talk so well. They do it stonewalling. They just grunt. It was so funny in the marriage preparation course we were doing now. Everybody almost 80%. All the ladies want is FaceTime. They want the man to leave everything he's doing, put down the newspaper, turn off the TV, turn off the internet, turn to me, and just listen. Listen to me. So So take my wife sometimes. Take your turn, turn. I'm busy. You know. They want FaceTime. Focused FaceTime. Not playing on your guitar. That freaks my wife out. Sit it near. Okay. And then guys, we don't like FaceTime. We do shoulder to shoulder. You see, we had a bride last week, Sunday, farewell thingy. All the ladies in a circle. The guys, there's a rugby ball, there's a soccer ball, there's a frisbee, and there's a tennis ball and a cricket bat. We played all of them at the same time. We do busy. We shoulder to shoulder. Yay. You know, lekker. I say, mana mooi. Yeah. Grunt. Yeah. I am generalizing, I know, but that in general, that's how it works. Yeah, so guys want shoulder to shoulder. And so the guys in the group said, they get so uncomfortable when she says, focus now on me. They just, no, I want to, you know, I know, this is not nice. This is uncomfortable. So you want something in your hands, you know? Yes, yes. You know, you can just grunt every now and again. You know? So it's amazing the differences between a man and a woman. But so you need to talk. Guys, we need to learn. Remember when you were at school, do the zone out on the teacher. Seems as you're listening. No, don't do that. That's not good. You're going to get in trouble. She's going to ask you, what did I just say? Then you are in trouble. Okay, so good tip. For in general communication, guys, you listen and then use feedback. You say, so what you're trying to say is this. Am I correct? And then she say, I'm trying to say this. Okay, so that's just a tip in terms of communication. Okay, the last scripture I shared. Why forgive? Forgiveness sets you free. That's what it does. Forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness causes you to take off all the baggage so that you are set free. Right, so practice with me quickly. You owe me nothing. Say that. You owe me nothing. Let's try that again. You owe me nothing. Why? Because as long as you have this expectation of people owing you stuff, you're setting yourself up for bitterness. You're setting yourself up for pain. You're setting yourself up. But that's not where we stop. It goes further. Love heals. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So you don't just say, you owe me nothing and cheers. You say, you tell the person, you owe me nothing, but I owe you love. I owe you love. So you can't, you see, forgiveness, the whole process of forgiveness is to come to a place of love where you actually now give love. So you release the debt, you owe me nothing, but I'm going to love you. What is that love? That's not an emotional thing. That's more than an emotional thing. You owe me nothing, but I owe you love. What does love look like? Two things. Love says to your partner, to your spouse, you are first. You are number one. You are my priority. Even World Cup final, Boca against the All Blacks. I'll do a coffee with you just around 2 hours after that. You are first. Okay, World Cup finals may be an exception, but you see, baggage, anything in a relationship that takes the priority above the person is building something in between. If your partner is standing on the other side, if my TV is more important, we put it, it comes between the two of you. Anything that's an obstacle, anything that's more important. And so especially for us guys in general, we need to remind ourselves the greatest, most special relationship that you and I can have on this earth is with our wife. That is it. And we sometimes forget that. It is the most important thing. If that works, life works. If that doesn't work, everything else is a waste. So we need to remind ourselves. That's why I need to do a marriage course once every 6 months. Remind myself. But so you can build an obstacle. That's the TV. And then we build another thing over here. That's my internet. Facebook. Then I can have something else as well. Oh, my hobby. Oh, I love my hobby. Yep, still building my mountain there. Then we have another little one there. And then we have another one over here. Sorry. And so we can go on. That might be work. Work. Work can be an obstacle for your relationship. And so you're building this. I'm not good at suitcase building. But okay, you can fill it up. It goes up there. Whatever is more important to you than your partner will become baggage. And you need to deal with that. You need to lay some stuff down. You need to make some boundaries. You need to choose to sort that out. So you must say, you are first. And then you must say, I am second. Can you do that? I am second. This is very profound, but that must sort of be your slogan through life. I am second. I am second. I am second. What does that mean? My love, your dreams come first. My love, your desires come first. Your heart comes before mine. Okay. If you don't do this, I am second, you'll think the world owes you something. It doesn't work. Trust me. Selfishness is the end of any relationship. Okay. Love cannot be obsessed with self. Love isn't selfish. Love gives. I just want to put this out there as well. Maybe it isn't the other person's sins that might be the issue in your relational life. Maybe it isn't the other people that has been hurting you so much or disappointing you or whatever. Maybe it's because you are wounded. And when somebody comes to hug you, it feels like pain because they're touching on those areas that hurt. And for some, I believe that's a word for some of us here. Maybe it's your wounds, not the unloving people. Okay, because love might feel to somebody unloving when they've got these wounds. Okay, I'm almost finished. So you can have a cycle of hurt, a wounded person reacting against towards another wounded person, injuring that, and the person reacting, responding. And so you have a cycle of hurt. You can even have that through generations. You sometimes see granddad did something, dad does something, son does the same thing, and he promised he'll never do it, but he does. So you have that sort of cycle that can continue. And then some of us, we get hurt and we get wounded. What is our first response usually when somebody hurts us? Depends on personality, but what would some of us do? Somebody hurt you. What do you do? First thing, you what? You scream. You can. As I said, certain personalities would. What are you doing? Okay, some of us do that. Other personalities, they run away. They isolate themselves. They go hide. Behind. Oh, that's everyone. They go hide behind their baggage. They find their identity in their hurt. And so they run away from church. They run away from a small group. They run away from their friends. They run away from their partner. They hide behind their baggage. That's not how you deal with it. You have to tell yourself, that's not. It's not going to solve it. Don't run away. Don't run away. Deal with it. How? Choose to love. Release the debt. And then choose to love. Choose to love. What does it mean to love? Put the other person first. I am second. And give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Where you say, maybe you also wounded. Maybe you are also hurt. And you're just acting out of your wounds. Acting out of your hurts. Acting out of your baggage. So how do we do this? I know this is like, oh, this is like hard. How do you just do this? Well, God's unconditional love empowers us to love. God says, what I have done for you, now do the same for your spouse. But God, you don't know how useless my husband is. But God, you don't know what he did to me or what she did to me. Well, then God could tell you, well, are you without sin? Have you missed a few steps with me, Almighty God? Have you been always perfect? Have you always done everything right? But I forgave you. I released your debt. Why? Because I love you. Now do the same for him. Release the debt. Forgive. Love despite. And then just to end off with this, the healer. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. I so felt in this week that God wants to come bring healing in some of our hearts. He wants to bring restoration in some of our hearts. And I've been praying this week, and we're going to pray for some people here this morning. The worship team, guys, you can join us along. But Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. Your relationships depend upon God's healing. Your relationships, if you're fine with having a distant marriage, if you're fine with having a distant relationship, if you're fine with just wounded people hurting one another, then that's fine. But I believe that's not God's will. That's not God's heart. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 17. It says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know about you, but you know, when I say I have conflict with my wife, if we miss one another, I don't want to be angry at my previous girlfriend. You know, I don't want things from my past to come and affect this relationship. And so what God wants to do, he wants to restore us. Okay, everybody, look away from the band. Look over here. We're almost finished. You need wholeness. You need wholeness. You need wholeness. You need to be whole. And some of us, we have experienced rejection after rejection after rejection. And so we have defined ourselves in the context of that rejection. You need wholeness. Maybe you're not in a relationship currently, but if you want to be someday in a relationship that works, you need wholeness. Jesus is the healer. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. In other words, the blindness is removed. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I have experienced this over and over again in my life. I should not be here today, and I should not be doing what I am doing. I should be feeling sorry for myself somewhere in the gutter. And I think most of us would have had experiences in our lives that would cause us to back off and not live life anymore. Now the amazing thing is, God, through His Spirit, He reaches down into our hearts and He heals us. He reaches down into our soul and makes us whole. So you can act like a man. Be controlled, be kind, be gentle. Not blow your top, not be angry, not be unforgiving. Jesus is the healer of broken hearts. I was praying with somebody recently. Somebody really battling with some things. And as I was praying for this person, I saw a house. I saw a house representing this person's life. And then I saw the front door opened, and the house was full of darkness. And I saw Jesus coming in, bringing life and light to every nook and cranny of the house. And then I saw Jesus standing outside. I saw on this house, I saw a label, which was a lie. A label saying, "You are this." And I saw Jesus taking that label and ripping it off and putting on a new label. Pure. Loved. And so some of us sit with labels in our lives. And I believe God wants to come and heal and set us free so we can deal with the baggage, so husbands can love their wives and wives can love their husband. I asked the band just to prepare just a song that speaks about healing. And so I want to encourage you, as we're just going to sing now, just to open your heart to God to bring wholeness. Maybe for some of us, you look in the mirror and you say, "I hate you." God wants to bring healing into our hearts and set us free. Let's just close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you love us so much. Thank you, Lord, that you have canceled our debts. When we turn to Jesus, when we turn to God, our debts are canceled. And all, God, all you say is, "I owe you more love. I'm going to give you more love. I'm going to give you more and more." And so, Father, we pray for your people this morning, for healing, for restoration, for your Holy Spirit to come and set us free. Okay, let's just stand. If you can stand with us, we just want to sing. As we sing this, just open your heart. Just open your heart to what God wants to do.
Jesus, you're all I need. Yeah, I believe you're my healer. I believe you Spirit of the Lord.